and welcome to the Antioch Fort Worth Weekly Podcast. At Antioch, our desire is to cultivate a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. To connect with us in community, partner with us through giving, or visit on a Sunday morning, please visit antiochfortworth.com. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon from lead pastor Jamie Miller.
Hey, so we're starting a series in Colossians. We're calling it Sharing Life Together. And kind of that family word, I think is going to be, as we do Colossians, but don't just think Colossians and Philemon, because those letters were written to the same church, read at the same time, and read publicly, you know, and there's just some really powerful stuff going on there about who we are in Christ. It's like a brand new church that Paul hasn't been to, and he's trying to equip them for living the life. But he's also, there's a slave deal in there with Onesimus and Philemon, and just putting that all out there, it's a death blow to slavery, although the church didn't see that for many years, but it's powerful what Paul is saying there. So we're going to be doing Colossians and Philemon this spring, and as we do with a lot of our series, we're also having a deeper dive. If you want a deeper dive, you can listen along with Jim Reynolds' podcast. It's called The Politics of Jesus. Isn't that a great name? The Politics of Jesus. And so he's a couple weeks ahead of us, maybe, I think, on that. And also, I've got a link in there for the Bible Project on Colossians. So just, if you did, you know, those are just great little helps. I love those guys, Tim and John, over in Portland at the Bible Project. So if you would, go ahead and stand up and let's just read. This is kind of my kick it off verse here. It's not at the beginning, but it does capture the why we're calling it Sharing Life Together. This is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. This is the word of God, and we say, thanks be to God. Y'all have a seat? So there you go. That's kind of where we're going. Sharing life together. That's like all wrapped up in our vision statement, to share, multiply the life of Christ, sharing in his life together. That's what makes us families, that we share, and that's what makes us reconciled. We're reconciled to God, but we're also reconciled to each other because we share in this life together. And what God is doing in the gospel is dealing with our fixation, focus, connection to the world and bringing us into a life-giving relationship of love with God himself. It's beautiful. Absolutely incredible. Colossians. Sharing life together. And again, Colossians and Philemon, just read them together. Read them together a lot. Think five chapters instead of four. And just let's reread and reread and reread. We used to do discipleship like this where we would do lots of repetitive reading. So do that with Colossians. We would literally try to read 25 or 30 chapters with somebody we were discipling, but only reading about four or five chapters repetitively, like each day, reading those chapters over and over again, like read Galatians five times this week, or read Colossians five times this week. Good stuff. It will stir stuff up in you as you do that. And, you know, so one of the things that happens that I love about Colossians, and so this is kind of an overview message, but is the high Christology, is the high view of Jesus, the image of the invisible God, right? So I'm going to be preaching Jesus, and whoever's involved in the series is going to be preaching Jesus, but also a high view of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You'll see it in the first section that we're going to read here in just a few minutes, that it's there, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's a high view of the church, ecclesiology, Trinitarian, Christological, Trinitarian, ecclesiological. That just means Christ, the church, and the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? The relational God of love. Okay, so We're going to go back to this again and again. Jesus is just high and lifted up. Here's the main thing. Today we're talking about some history and some background, but the main thing is, and I want to create a bridge with the words that God's given us for the year and for the movement for us as a church, but also to take those words intentionally into what we're reading in the scriptures. So God wants us to wake up, right? That's one of our words. Wake up, watch and pray. He wants us to wake up, to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we're gonna be able to do that in Colossians Philemon, right? And to see the way forward as a family together, a multi-generational family on mission together. So we're gonna just, my encouragement is if we can just do that as we're reading, just remember the words. Remember the words. I'm praying this just basically every day. Lord, help me to wake up. Lord, help me to wake up. I'm started marching, because that's the way I pray a lot of times. Lord, help me to wake up. Help me to watch and pray. Lord, keep my eyes on Jesus. Lord, help me to do this. Help me to keep turning toward one another, to turn toward my brothers and sisters. I've already had a pastoral opportunity, not here at this church, but at another church, to encourage brothers and sisters to turn toward, to not turn away from each other, but to turn toward. When things are hard, turn toward. Turn toward. It's very much like God. It's working out the one another's. So here we go. First thing is the bridge. I'm saying it already, but let's see the bridge between these words. With our eyes on Jesus as we're looking at Colossians, that's gonna make a lot of sense when we read this together. So there's eyes on Jesus. There's that second word, turning toward one another in love. Let's look for that in Colossians. Paul is gonna be exhorting them in Colossians and Philemon, right? To turn toward. Can you think of some conflict there that might be helpful for turning toward, right? And so then that third piece is wake up. Wake up, watch and pray. So Lord, help us with these words, but also with the big word, to be a multi-generational family on mission. You're gonna see brothers and sisters, the holy people in Colossae. And I love, just I'm gonna point this out here, holy people, just because we're holy people and literally called saints doesn't mean we're sinless, right? We don't have it all together. We're on a journey. We're broken, we're forgiven, but we're still on this journey. And so he says, to God's holy people, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, right? So amen. We want to be a bridge, and we want to see that bridge for the words as we read the scripture together this spring. The second piece is there's a problem going on in Colossae, and there's a problem going on in Fort Worth. Yeah, and it's sin in the big picture. But there's competing philosophies. That's what's going on here in Colossae. You know, there's competing philosophies. There's, you have to think this way, and they're trying to impose their way of thinking on others. And they've got also mystery religions that are happening, so kind of mixture of pagan idols, supervision kind of stuff that's disconnected from Jesus. Angelic visitation, things that are, disconnected from the Lord. He's going to talk about that in chapter 2. And then enforcing, maybe there's a synagogue in Colossae. I don't know for sure, but there are Jewish law-keeping people present in the church that are trying to enforce that on other people, other Gentile believers in the church. So all of that is kind of going on at the same time while Paul is saying, you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. So when we're getting pulled around, and it's not hard to see how this gets worked out in our own culture. How does it get worked out when there's philosophies out there? Because people, a lot of times the philosophies that we experience in our world, it's not just everybody can believe whatever you want to believe. Like when you really start getting into some of the different philosophies, it's like, I believe this, and you have to believe it too. And so it's kind of an enforcing what I believe on others. And there's some just real key things in our world where we have to go, no, you know what? We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. And we're going to keep our eyes on the way he's made us to be male and female image bearers together. God's plan for us. And so there's different philosophies, different even kind of mystery things out there where Paul comes along and says, no, the mystery has been revealed. It used to be hidden, but it's revealed now, and it's Jesus Christ. He's the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And it's not just deeper up into these mysterious realms of Gnostic knowledge, but it's actually the focal point is Jesus. He's the image of the invisible God, the radiance of the glory of God, the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we proclaim Jesus, 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 Jesus. And then and now, we're going to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ as the answer that we, the deepest answer that we really, really need. I mean, when we read next week, or not next week, that's Womendic, but in 2 weeks, we'll look at that second section there in verses 15 and following, and it's like it's all in Jesus. He's created everything. He's holding all things together. He's redeeming everything. He's reconciling everything. It's all in him. Nobody will ever be able to overestimate Jesus. You know, just like, I know you guys probably say, he preaches Jesus every week. Yes. And we will never, ever get to the end of it. Ever, ever, ever. No, we won't stand before him in glory and say, well, I think I made too much of you, Jesus. Never gonna happen. He's glorious beyond our ability to comprehend. His love is fathomless. It's just you can't get to the bottom of it. You can't fully take it in. And that's why we stand up week after week in all the different contexts and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. He's beautiful. And so the problem there is very real in Colossae. And so Paul's writing into that. Let me get into a summary here a bit, because Epaphras obviously is the one who planted the church. Epaphras or Epaphras, different ways of pronouncing that. I'm a Epaphras guy myself, but be free. We're all going to get there together. I'm of the Epaphras group. I've always thought it was Epaphras myself. I'm just having fun with it, y'all. Be up too uptight. So he's writing to, so Epaphras comes and they're in jail. So you got to think about the intro and the conclusion here. They're literally writing this letter's being written from jail. And Jim Reynolds, I love, you know, he tagged this as the jailhouse church. You know, you've got all these guys. And I mean, I don't know what the exact number is. I should have looked it up. But you've got Paul, Luke, and Mark. Like maybe 70% of the New Testament comes out of this jailhouse church at the end of Colossians. Isn't that amazing? So Paul writes these letters, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon from this jail cell. And so, and he writes other letters as well. But Luke is there, the Gospel of Luke. Mark is there. He's the one who writes Peter's version of the gospel, basically, tradition says, in the Gospel of Mark. So really cool. You know, they're there. And there's this high, high view of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the church, a high view of the church that, you know, when he goes through, yeah, we go through suffering and trials and all of this stuff, but God's revealed his mystery to the nations. And this mystery is Christ in y'all. Christ in yous, guys. Christ in plural yous. That's what that means. And so that's another way of, that's a shorthand way of saying Christ and the church. Like he's in us. Like he's here with us right now in the power of the Spirit. And so Paul is writing this letter into this situation, out of this jail scenario. And you know, one of the things that's happened too is that he's led this guy named Onesimus to the Lord. Onesimus is a runaway slave. Maybe he stole some stuff, but he's become a son in the gospel to Paul, this older guy at this time. And so Paul is going to leverage who he is in the Lord and what he sees about the church being a family when he writes Philemon and says, he was a slave to you, but now he's your brother. And I want you to receive him as your brother. The name literally means like useful tool. Like he wasn't useful, but now he's useful to me and to you. For real, Onesimus. He's not just a slave to you anymore. He's your fellow man. He's your brother in the family of God together. So that's what's going on. That's kind of the backstory going into Colossians. And so Colossians and Philemon has a lot to say about slavery. Then for us, you know, I feel like, you know, there's things that it took the church a long time to figure that this isn't what God's best is for humanity. For us to dehumanize others and just see people as things that are useful for getting things done, but to actually see one another as co-heirs and fellow members in the family of God, in the body of Christ together. And even this conversation this week, just as we've worked on it in our sermon planning time, has also led to conversations about women. And I want to just say something here about women as well. Like the whole church matters. If we're going to be a multi-generational family, then all the generations functioning together, that also means all the men and women functioning together and being family together and loving and valuing. And I so want to just, you know, at, I almost said Christ Fellowship, here at Antioch, just place the highest value on one another, on women, on just growing up, you know, Esther growing up to be all that she's supposed to be in God. And there not being stop signs in front of women because of you're a woman. And so we've talked about that, you know, for years. I remember back in the late 90s and seeing, I'm pointing at Lindy, but I just remember saying, there's not a stop sign in front of you. She's a gifted sister with unique gifts. Yeah, it's just a big deal. I want to encourage you, just a few different resources. I've just been getting stirred up. I was on the phone last Thursday with Michael Miller from Upper Room, and we got into this thing about women. He's actually done a couple messages. I listened to the first one from 2 weeks ago, and I just encourage you to get that. He's got 10 pages of notes in there, and it's just really excellent. Yeah, just valuing women in the body of Christ, and so many ways that, like, the church, like, missed that. Like, really, really missed that. I don't want to, that's not the point of this whole sermon, but I just, like, when I started doing some of my own research a number of years ago and realizing that women couldn't vote, well, certainly not vote until last century, but couldn't own land with their husband. It had to be the guy. And then slowly over time, different states started giving the right for women to own. It's just, that's 150 years ago. So it's not like we had this figured out at all. And there's just some good resources there. And we are fighting, you know, some of it's tradition. We have good traditions that are passed down, and we have bad traditions that are passed down too. And so reading some of the quotes from, you know, Augustine, church fathers, just Jerome, just devaluing, just terribly devaluing women. That's in there. That's in the story. Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, just different quotes devaluing women. And so Paul's coming along and he's subverting a lot. He's subverting who you call Lord by calling Jesus Christ Lord. Caesar was called Lord. So it's subverting our political allegiances. That's going on. You know, our political allegiance, and just everybody breathe. But So it's not new here. Like, I can't believe he's saying that. No, but it's like our political allegiance, I'm putting it down here. It goes down here underneath our allegiance to Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. He's our Lord. And that's why we talk about the politics of Jesus, is because he's the Lord. We're a people together because we're under his lordship, his reign, and his rule. And so whatever we do with this, and this is our culture. This is our way of doing government, and we participate in that under the reign of Jesus. So when he's saying Jesus the Lord, Jesus Christ the Lord, that's subverting in a Roman scenario where Caesar was called Lord. And so this literally is the point where Christians would have to make a stand. Are you going to say that Jesus is Lord or not? Will you just say Caesar is Lord? Just say it, and you won't have to be persecuted. So subverting the lordship of the powers and the principalities, subverting slavery, subverting patriarchy, and the devaluing of women. I've probably said enough about that, but just I'm doing an overview here, and I want us to just be looking for those things. I listened to a message. It was an interview. That's the last thing I'm going to say. A message. It was an interview with Rick Warren, and it was like a tour de force of God's value for, I'm not shooting you guys, just I'm blessing you. he was so clear, and he's just gone through a deal where, you know, they have women pastors at Saddleback, but they got kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention because of their view of trying to elevate and help and encourage. And, you know, he's got so many statistics, and he heads up a group called Finish the Task that we're a part of, and Jimmy's been out there with them in California at Saddleback. But one of the things that was just so powerful was when he said, you know, part of the reason that we're the church that's baptized more people than any other church in the United States in our history as a country, 54,000 baptisms since 1980. Isn't that amazing? Like, and they know that, you know, just like, wow. You know, and he says, I'd be continually wet if it was me having to do all the baptizing. But the way we do it is, man or woman, whoever leads them to the Lord, they baptize them and help them walk on in their journey of knowing the Lord. Praise the Lord for Rick Warren, for Saddleback. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So here we go to the scripture. This is the way forward. God wants us to fix our eyes on Jesus and see the way forward. So let's read this together. First 14 verses, and I may pause some along the way. We'll see. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Okay, let me pause here. That is, oh man, like knowing who you are is such a huge deal. Like, he knows who he is by the will of God. That we would all know who we are by the will of God. That we've got a role to play, to preach, to share, to serve, to love, to encourage by the will of God. Apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, and then you've got the families, and you've got the generations right there. Paul, an apostle, and Timothy, our brother, whom he also calls a son, to God's holy people, the saints in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Yeah, Father, even now, just I'm praying it back. Lord, we need to know, Lord, the grace of God. Just in our hearts around this room, even as we were praying earlier, Father, reveal your love to us for everyone in this room. Lord, reveal your grace to us. Everyone that needs to hear that, grace and peace, I speak that over you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. So he hasn't seen them, but there they are praying. Because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel's bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. It's amazing. There's something just about the gospel being proclaimed. You know, it's not like, the gospel is the announcement of the reign of God, that the kingdom has come. It's here. Now, it includes all of the things that we talk about, forgiveness of sins and all of this, but there's just something about announcing the gospel. It's good news. Jesus reigns. He's the Lord of all. And he's made a way for us all to know him, to be reconciled, forgiven, healed, ransomed, restored, built up, out of the old, into the new. He's done all of that. And the gospel, just proclaiming that, it does stuff. And that's why we talk about it week after week after week after week. Whether I say, I'm now saying the gospel to you, I'm preaching the gospel. And there's just power in proclaiming the lordship and the reign of Jesus Christ. And it's so much more than just me going, and you can have a personal experience. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than your personal experience. It's the declaration that Jesus Christ is the Lord of heaven and earth. And yes, we want the personal experience, but it's so much more than that. It's so powerful. And there's an urgency in our hearts, but it's like God's doing it. God's bringing fruit. God's stirring up hearts and lives to be changed. The gospel is bearing fruit throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard about it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras. Love y'all. Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. And I think that last phrase there, it just jumped out at me like, your love in the Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When the Holy Spirit's moving, like, love starts flowing in the family of God. When the Holy Spirit's moving, mark my words, when the Holy Spirit's moving, women start being released. But just think about that. Pentecost, Holy Spirit moving. You know, I'm going back to it again. Anna is the first one to proclaim the incarnation at the temple. Simeon gives praise, but Anna's the first one to start talking to the people about the incarnation. Isn't that powerful? You know, and then Mary Magdalene is the first one to proclaim the resurrection. The first incarnation, the first resurrection proclamation, it's Mary. You know, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. This is what's going on because everybody's proclaiming the wonders of God together. This is a work of the Holy Spirit, quoting Joel. And Jesus' last words, Jesus' words, like, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. Just receive it. Men and women. There's not a barrier there. That wall's down. And it's just, man, it's good news. If you look at the way Jesus treated women in a patriarchal, top-down, man-centered, head-of-the-household-centered way of doing life, economy, and the way of doing the world, what Jesus does is so subversive and beautiful, really. So I got on that because of the Spirit, of your love in the Spirit, right? So for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Man, I love that. So you got Epaphras there, and he's like stirring it up, but they're praying. The jailhouse church, they're praying together. They're meeting Paul's needs, but they're praying together. We have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Lord, lead us, help us here at Antioch Fort Worth to be filled with the knowledge of your will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. We need this. Oh God, we need this right here. Even as you're speaking it to the Colossians 2,000 years ago, we need it here in Fort Worth. Endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. So he just, this is what he's praying. And we just, it's hard for me not to be praying it because it's a prayer. The knowledge of his will. The Spirit's given wisdom and understanding that we'd grow to know what God's really like, that we live a life that's worthy of him. Lord, help me. Lord, out of the ditches in a life worthy. I want to please you, Jesus. Lord, I want to please you. I want to live that life growing in the Spirit, growing in the grace and endurance and patience and running the race. And we are qualified, brought out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, out of the kingdom of Satan and into the kingdom of Jesus, the Son he loves. And in this kingdom, we have forgiveness for everything that you've ever done, or even recently, even a long time ago, and everything that you will do. He's got us. He's got us. You know, there is an urgency then to holding on to this word as a way forward for us. God gives us even these words, again, back to the bridge, he gives us these words for a reason. Keep your eyes on Jesus in 2024. Turn toward one another in love. Live in this kingdom together. Let love mark you in the Spirit. Let love be the primary criteria by which we are known as disciples. But look how they love one another. Look how they love each other. Serve each other. Come under each other, care for each other. He's given us these words for a reason. Turning toward one another in love, waking up. And I guess part of the urgency is any place where we're on autopilot and we just need to, in the Spirit, crack the smelling salt thing open and wake up. Wake up. Like, Lord, okay, here we are. Lord, help us. You are helping us to wake up. You're helping me. And wake up going into world mandate. Wake up coming out of world mandate. Wake up in this moment that we're in culturally. Wake up in the church life here in Fort Worth. God is bringing us into something. Like, just turn, find somebody real close, say, God's bringing us into something. He really is. And it's going to be that we would be this family, this people, brothers and sisters together, the Lord's holy people together, alive and lit up with his light and his life and his love for the glory of God. You guys stand up. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, open our eyes again that we might see you, Jesus. Open our eyes to the grace of God that's ours in Jesus Christ. Lord, make us just like the Colossians who were getting this letter and just receiving it and reading it and trying to understand it. Lord, would you wake us up? Ministry team, come on up. And we're just, I think the call today is just to press into the Lord. Just if there's something here that's stirring your heart about Jesus, man, I want more of him. I want that in my own soul. Jesus, we want you. We want to be the multi-generational family that you've called us to be, on mission together, on purpose, living our lives, going for it. God is wanting to bring you out of something and into something else. Whatever the struggles are that you need out of, let the Lord bring you. Let the Lord take you. And so if there's that yes there, or if there's a challenge about that, man, let's just press in prayer. We love you, Lord. We need you. We just say, Lord, have your way. Lord, I pray just the and anything that needs to be subverted in our hearts, lordship given to the wrong things, just full value, Lord, for men and women together in the family as image bearers. Lord, if there's just anybody that needs breakthrough prayer there, in Jesus' name, amen. You guys, let's pray. Press in for just a minute.